The following radio program was made possible by partners of Sought Out Global Ministries.
I think a lot has to do with the Western mind and the way that we think, but the Lord still comes to us and says, trust me, and then you will see. And we're saying, no, I want to see, then I'll trust. Mm-hmm. We've got to turn it, because the kingdom's economy is still run by the king. And the Lord Jesus says, trust me, and I'll show you. So we need to put away the inverted concept that requires that we see things on our terms. Because in this moment, all four of us around the table here are nodding our heads saying, yes, there is more, and we desire more. Therefore, it is, we got to put away the idea of, but God, first of all, I need a guarantee of what it's going to be so I can understand it. And we got to let go of that puppy and say, God, whatever it is that you want to bring according to your agenda, I am available to that, which then brings us to another place. And that is, some will say, well, I want to be sure it's God. And I'm saying, well, don't not step ahead for the fear if it's God or not. Instead, just know that he has your back.
Do you think the people of the Bible are more special than you and I? Well, think again. They were ordinary men and women empowered by an extraordinary God through whom we can do even greater things than he did. Are you ready for more of God? Well, then stay tuned, because that's next right here on Sought Out Global Radio. And we welcome you to Sought Out Global Radio. I'm your host, Mark Grote, and joining me once again is Sought Out Ministry leaders Herb and Bethany Marks and Teresa Grote. Let's set up today's discussion. And we were talking offline before we went live on today's show, and you guys are all getting a good yuck out of it. But hey, we often talk about the theme of more, and that there is more with God. And one of the things that we talked about this morning before we went live on this was, are you willing to explore the idea that God has more for you? And I'm often struck, and I have conversations with people who, God is nothing more than the Word of God. It is like following the rule book, and that this is the recipe for a Christian life. But it never goes to the next level where it becomes life.
And intimacy.
Yeah. And so what Teresa and I have often talked about is a situation where, in the end, what we've got is a relationship with the rules and not a relationship with the ruler, who is the king, and that would be Jesus, and living a life like that.
I think part of that is just the interaction piece between us and a God of a universe that looks down and loves us with all of his heart.
Pursues us.
And comes after us. Mm-hmm. Thus, even the name sought out or being pursued by God, and sought after. But this is the beauty of the fact that God initiated and pursued us long before we had the capacity to even know that there was a God, because we were lost in what sin does and killing off any ability to have a relationship with him whatsoever. God had to do the initiation and the building of the bridge and the invitation and giving us the ability to comprehend that there is a Savior. All of this done by him first. And so to come back around again to think that there's a book of rules and that's all there is to this thing, I think that that flies in the face of love.
To me, it flies in the face of what is the Word of God itself. What it took for the Word of God to come together as we know it in the Bible. When you look at that, it's a miracle. It came together as the result of 40 different authors inspired by God over 1,000 years in creation.
And the possibility of that?
With all of their alignment and view of God being aligned.
And
everything
being in concert with one another, affirming each other.
Exactly. Written by princes, by kings, by slaves, by men, by women.
Yet by doctors.
Doctors, right? By a Jew, by a Gentile, and they're all aligned in terms of their view of God.
Correct.
They're all consistent. The possibility of that is unfathomable. So the Word of God itself is a testimony to the miracles that God can do, right? So how do we go from reading about a spirit to living life in the spirit? And I think this is idea of more as a theme. And for you listeners that are out there who listen to Sought Out Global Radio, or if you're listening for the first time, you need to understand that that is what this ministry is all about. It's about bringing us into not empty experiential experiences, but to a true living relationship with God, right? Intimacy, life, and a knowing that God is alive, well, and active in our lives today. He's not just empty words on on a page.
You can go in an example in Scripture. Jesus makes a statement that has really been perplexing for many over the years. In regards to some of the guys that came to him and said, "Didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we lay hands on the sick and they recover in your name?" And what did Jesus say? He said, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And I thought, early on when I first read that, I would shake my head saying, "Excuse me, what? These guys were doing the works that Jesus did in his name. And Jesus says, I never knew you." And then it began to dawn on me. Oh, Jesus wants to know you. He said, "Fellas, I don't know you. You never ask my opinion about anything.
Yeah.
You were just about doing what I would do using my name. And I do honor my word. That is true." But in that example, Jesus makes it really clear. I want to know you. I want to have interaction and relationship. Don't be about my business without me.
I love that scripture, Matthew 7, because, as you say, it almost confronts the idea of works at the same time. Because if people...
Yes, it does.
You know, if it is... As we come to God, we think that we have to do certain things. And here Jesus is saying, these guys that were coming to him, they were bringing probably the greatest thing that any man could bring to God. They were casting out demons. They were performing not one miracle, but the word says they were performing many miracles. And if they could do those things at that level, and Jesus would say, you know what, that's not enough, that means that scripture has nothing to do with what you produce and everything about who you are producing it for. And when I'm going to clarify that, it's the relationship to Jesus that he's looking for. He is looking for a relationship. He's looking for a connection. He's not looking. If it was about the works, he would have said, "Yeah, good job. You guys did great. You performed many miracles." It wasn't about the works.
No,
it was about us having a relationship.
And it's important by that comment, then, wouldn't we agree that be careful if it's only miracles and only works and only signs and wonders, because what we're dealing with here is a God who truly wants to be in interaction, linking arms with conversation and relationship together.
Right.
You know, the miracles, frankly, piece of cake for him. And the miracles continue today. At the last home encounter just a few days ago, a fellow came to the Stanwood home encounter with a large growth and knot on his wrist. And during the time where the Lord was moving beautifully amongst the people, he was prayed for regarding that huge knot on his wrist by one of our team members. And before our eyes, we watched it begin to go away. And this kind of stuff, you could say, "Oh, that's incredible." But ultimately, it really came down to, do you know him? And that was the same fellow that received the baptism of the Holy Spirit that night and had an experience of a prayer language that the scripture talks about. But that was out of intimacy and relationship, because somewhere he had been believing the lie that it wasn't for him. And after seeing the miracle, then he stepped into a tighter experience in Jesus by receiving the fullness of the Spirit in this regard, because Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. And anything that gets you closer to Jesus, I want it. I know you do too. And when this fellow learned that this would get him closer to Jesus, he wanted it.
See, that story is awesome. And I want to pull a Herb here. And I want to just check. Yes.
What are you going to do?
By that, I just want to check people who are listening to this program right now. What is happening in you inside when Herb shares a story about someone who has a growth on their wrist that they saw instantly begin to disappear? Because this is getting at the heart of that there's more with God and that he can do more. And what is your faith level? And this gets back to the question, what is your expectancy that there could be more to experience with God?
Good.
Amen?
Yeah.
And so this is where we're going with this today. And so for you listeners who are out there listening today, we want to know, when we say we want more of God, what does that mean for you? Do you have the faith level to believe that God can instantly shrink a growth or a knot on someone's wrist? Do you have the faith level to believe that things can happen that you can't explain? Because really, a lot of this comes down to our ability or our desire to want to explain everything that happens. And if we can't explain it or understand it, we want to shut it down.
Sure, we do. I think a lot has to do with the Western mind and the way that we think. We've been trained to think. But the Lord still comes to us and says, trust me, and then you will see. And we're saying, no, I want to see, then I'll trust. Mm-hmm. We've got to turn it. Because the kingdom's economy is still run by the king. And the Lord Jesus says, you know, trust me, and I'll show you. So we need to put away the inverted concept that requires that we see things on our terms. Mm-hmm. And because in this moment, when we ask you, all four of us around the table here are nodding our heads saying, yes, there is more, and we desire more. Therefore, we got to put away the idea of, but God, first of all, I need a guarantee of what it's going to be so I can understand it. And we got to let go of that puppy and say, God, whatever it is that you want to bring according to your agenda, I am available to that, which then brings us to another place. And that is, some will say, well, I want to be sure it's God. And I'm saying, well, don't not step ahead for the fear if it's God or not. Instead, just know that he has your back. The Lord is bigger than any other issue that you can be faced with, including anything that might be adversarial.
Well, what I, in Luke, it talks about, if I ask for a piece of bread, he won't give me a stone. So when I'm approaching God honestly and genuinely with an open heart, he says, if I ask for a piece of bread, I won't give you a stone. And I can completely rest that I won't get misled because he'll be there. I love that promise.
That's a great
promise. How much more?
That's a daddy's heart, isn't it? That's a father's heart.
Yes. That's the context, is we know how to give good gifts to our kids. If they ask something from us, we're not going to give them something bad or that hurts them or that will trick them in any way. Well, we can count on the same thing from God. If we ask for it, if we go after it, he's going to meet us.
You know, I'm kind of smiling as I look around the table because, you know, we are all parents. We, around the table, represent three teenage boys. And as parents, we watch over our kids.
True.
And I mean, we watch them closely. True. And the fact is that if they're going to be asking for something, it's in our hearts that they get the best. And also that it's, I mean, we're always asking the question about quality control, aren't we? And you know, of things that our boys might want and what the motives are. And we're talking to them about how to discern if it's healthy or good for you. And I listen to my wife often talk to our boy, is what you're eating healthy, you know? So I honestly, God's intention for us is for his highest.
If we really understand that his intention for us is for our highest, I think that it's easier to approach things that we don't maybe understand or maybe we haven't experienced before, because we know that the heart of God is good. And I think that it, you know, it's an important time in the body of Christ to know the heart of God and to go after more.
Hmm. And that he has our best in mind. I think if we can settle, again, the concept in our own hearts that God has his best in mind for us, wouldn't that melt away a lot of the concerns that we might have, a lot of the conservative posturing that we take when it comes to issues of faith? And that the Lord is pretty clear in his word. Hebrews, it says that without faith, it's impossible to please him. So let's revert that. What's the opposite? Faith pleases the Lord. So in that place of trusting and in faith, watch how the pleasure of God is poured out towards us. You know, I'm going to use our son, honey. And that is when Derek comes to me, when our son comes to me, and he's wanting something, everything in me rises because I want him to have it. And if he came to me and he says, nah, I thought I'd ask you anyway, Dad, but I don't think you love me enough and you don't really care. I mean, what's that got to do to me as a dad, you know? And I'm thinking, we got to work on that, first of all. And I'm certainly, in some cases, not even going to give it to him to support his, you know, premise, and that is that Dad doesn't care. Do you think I'm going to reward that? We still are going to work about character and work in him that I love him, and then we'll approach it again.
So I think there's two things here. One is pursuit. Are we all out, pedal to the floor, pursuing God, whatever that means, the unknown, the faith walk into the unknown? And then there's also the expectation. There are two distinct things, because you can be pursuing God but thinking, you know, my prayer time is going to be like all my other prayer times, and not have an expectation of an interaction or whatever God wants that's new in that time. So expectation is, we bring expectation in with faith, and miracles happen when there's higher faith, which to me can be expectation, right? But then there's also the type of faith that I'm valuable, I believe what the Bible says, I am going to pursue God for everything there is. That takes faith too.
You're absolutely right. I mean, obviously the scripture says in the Gospels that Jesus could not do many miracles because there wasn't enough faith, right? So I know you're right, but where people lack that faith, Bethany, we're all talking about this from our perspective.
And I think if we put it into terms of like pursue God and ask him to help you with your expectation, to grow it, to stretch it, to believe for something you haven't or can't put words to.
But are we appealing for somebody to have a mind shift, or are we actually wanting them to have an encounter? Because, you know, really what I think is absent in a lot of people, for what I have, and I don't see that they have it, is that they haven't had a God encounter, that they haven't had a specific, you know, encounter with God that has been so impactful in their life that it caused them to throw themselves into him lock, stock, and barrel. So in its place, in comes fear, suspiciousness, superstition, and those things that substitute the experience for God with things that the enemy plants in our mind. It's not anywhere else. It hasn't gone anywhere else. It's in our mind that puts suspicion over everybody else who does experience something with God. And it tries to get legalistic about it when it compares it to the Word of God. The whole entire Word is built around people who had experiences with God. And I so much want people to get that they could experience something with God. And I think you just have a level of faith where you're at today that you and I think we take it for granted. And we have had that experience. And so, you know, I think there's a lot of people out there that haven't, and they haven't been able to move beyond the letters on the page.
So there's a lot of people that, Mark, as you said, that might be hearing our voice and saying, I want more. We're saying we've had a taste of it, and we know there's more for us as well. I think that if people knew that God has his arms held open wide to us to come even deeper, if we believe that, I think that we would move towards that. And before we end the broadcast today, I want to pray in a certain way that will up people's expectations, but also their trust factor and their hunger. That in that place where we begin to approach God from our heart, I mean, we're pretty well established in trying to understand and being intellectual. In other words, being knowledge-based about what he says in his word.
Yep.
But we need to transition that down to a heart, emotional, and you don't hear me saying hyper-emotional. I'm talking about being heartfelt. And that's a word that is well understood in our society, heartfelt. How do we then take that and lay that into the direction of our relationship with God in pursuit? And it's important for us to be heartfelt as we approach him. And I think some folks come up empty-handed with that. They have a deer in the headlights look. They're going heartfelt. How do you do that with somebody you can't see? Well, the eyes of our heart need to be opened, and that's something God can do. And I think it begins just simply by saying, God, I need your help here. There's a fellow in Scripture that says, I have faith, but and he said, I believe, but help my unbelief. And I can't tell you how many times I've realized, I've prayed and said, Lord, help me in my unbelief. I have a little bit. I have some. You said the faith of a mustard seed. Well, that's really small. That'll get you started. But just plain mouthing it in conversation as you open your heart to the Lord, he hears that. And that's where it begins. So it's not a huge thing. It's a simple step. And I saw all of us around the table here today in this broadcast long to put our arms around every person listening and encourage all of us that God awaits because there's even more, and that it not only moves from our from the consent of our mind, but to the expression of our hearts emotionally before the Lord. Yeah. Watch how he will respond to you when you give him an emotional response. And I really mean that. Charles Finney made the statement that what you feel is most probably what you believe. And so I want to challenge everybody out there listening to us today. I get it in the mind and intellect and how you can stay there, but I'm asking you, what do you feel about God? Do you have enough of him? How do you feel about that? And then take a look at what rises from your heart. Because from that author, and he had profound results as an evangelist, some 90% of those who came to Christ stayed under his ministry. And it's here that he said, check your heart, because most probably what you feel is what you believe. Go there. How are you in relationship with Jesus?
So, Father, I thank you that we can come to you, and even seeing the place that we're in, if it's lacking, God, yes, we can come and say, Father, take what we have, and like you did with the loaves and fishes, multiply it and increase it. Father, I thank you that in this time, you're causing your people, inside your people, to have a hunger and thirst like never before.
Yes.
And that hunger and thirst will cause them to push past what they understand or don't understand, what makes them comfortable, what doesn't, what they've experienced in the past or haven't. God, that hunger and thirst is rising up, causing your people to come after you like never before.
Yes.
And I thank you, Father, that in that pursuit, you will meet them and you will be faithful, just like it says, if we ask for a piece of bread, you won't give us a stone. And you also said, if we seek, we will find. Yes. And I thank you for those promises, God. And we take them for ourselves. We take them for ourselves and choose to trust you in this. In Jesus' name.
Thanks, Teresa. An awesome prayer for us all to remember as we attempt to follow God more closely. And as a byproduct of that time with God, a more intimate relationship with the Father will develop. And shouldn't we expect more from him when we do? Shouldn't our faith begin to increase as God begins to move through us? If men who didn't even know Jesus could do signs, wonders, and miracles, how much more can you do as one who loves him? The answer is so much more. We bless you in your walk with God to experience Him more deeply than ever before. Friends, if you'd like to contact us, our email address, once again, is radio@soughtoutglobal.com. That's radio@soughtoutglobal.com. Or you can write us via U.S. mail. Our address is Sought Out Global Ministries, P.O. Box 1733, Mukilteo, Washington, 98275. If you haven't yet attended one of our home encounters, summertime might be the best time of all for doing that. For details and other events that we have happening at Sought Out Global Ministries, please go to our website at soughtoutglobal.com and follow the links to events. Friends, we want to take this opportunity to ask for your assistance and support of Sought Out Global Radio. If this radio ministry is blessing you, would you consider supporting our broadcast to keep it on the air? To support Sought Out Global Radio, please go to our website, soughtoutglobal.com, and follow the links to partnership and giving. I'm afraid that's all the time we have for today. On behalf of Herb and Bethany Marks and Teresa Grote, I'm Mark Grote. Be sure to join us again here each week, right here on Sought Out Global Radio.
The preceding program was made possible by partners of Sought Out Global Radio, calling you into greatness. If you would like to sign up to become partners with Sought Out Global Radio, you can do that at soughtoutglobal.com.